All right, good morning, everybody. A Shavua Tov to all. Welcome to our special first shir in this wonderful summer program put together by Rabbi Schechter and Kol Tov to Rav Schechter and his wife, Rebbetzin Schechter, for all of their efforts to be Marbitz Torah to Rabbim. And I am honored by this chus of being part of this program. I also want to thank my wonderful parents for sponsoring my series, my six-part summer series. I went to school, I got my bachelor's and my master's in audiology, and life took a different turn. And from the moment I started teaching, my parents have been unbelievably supportive of me and very, very proud of me. And it is my true honor and humble privilege to have them sponsor this Shir series. It should be a schus for them for Arichus Yamim and Shanim in good health to enjoy with Nachas Mibanim Ubnei Banim. Hopefully this pandemic will end soon and we could soon again spend time together. Be'ezras Hashem, I thank them very much for their sponsorship. So my series is entitled Insights and Lessons from Toras HaRav. When Rav Schechter approached me about being part of this program, he wanted a specific topic for this six-part series. And I suggested, what about doing a series on insights and lessons from Toras HaRav? And Baruch Hashem, Rav Schechter gave his haskama. He said, I like that idea very much. For those of you who have learned with me in the past, you know that Rav Salvechik's teaching have strongly influenced my life hashkafa, my outlook, my dveikus by Hashem, my amuna in Hashem, and my whole approach to how we learn Torah and live our lives as Jews. Rav Salvechik, also known as Rav Yashar Ber Salvechik, also known as the Rav, also known as Rabbi J.B. Salvechik, Joseph Ber Salvechik, was born on February 27, 1903, and he was Nifter on April 9, 1993. He comes from a great line of Rabbanus. He was the son of Rav Moshe Zatzal, the grandson of Rav Chaim Brisker, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, the great-grandson of his namesake, the Beis Halevi. His great-great-grandfather was the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda in Berlin, and his great-great-great-great-grandfather was Rav Chaim Volozhin. So he comes from a very long line of Gedolei Olam. He was a Rosh Hashiva. He identified himself as a teacher, as a Malamed. He was a leader. He was a Talmudic genius. He was a scholar. He was a founder of Maimonides Day School in Boston. The Rav succeeded his father, Rav Moshe, as the head of Reitz Rabbinic School at YU in 1941, and he taught there until 1986 when his illness kept him from continuing. The Rav was considered the top Rosh Hashiva from the time he began teaching until his death in 1993. I'm going to actually begin this series by quoting a piece from Rav Shalom Rosner, who is one of the teachers in the summer series. So Rav Shalom Rosner, this is a beautiful way, I think, for me to begin my Shir series, the six-part series, learning from Toras HaRav, which means that every week we'll be learning something else. What we are going to be learning is going to be based on teachings of Rav Salvechik. In a piece entitled, The Rav I Never Met, Rav Shalom Rosner writes, and I'm quoting verbatim, this is from a Sefer Blessings and Thanksgiving teaching of Rav Salvechik. In a piece entitled, The Rav I Never Met, Rav Shalom Rosner, okay, I see not everyone is muted. You have to wait a minute, please. Okay. Rabbi Shalom Rosner writes, 15 years ago, my six-year-old daughter answered the phone in our home. Is the Rav available, was the request. Without batting an eyelash, my then six-year-old daughter answered, The Rav is on the wall, but my father is home. That humorous exchange crystallized the reality of my generation. By the way, we have two Gedolim pictures on our wall. One is Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, and the other is the Rav. I know it's not behind me right now, that's not where I'm sitting, but that's one of our Gedolim pictures. That humorous exchange crystallized the reality of my generation, writes Rav Rosner, the generation of whom the Rav was more an institution than a personality in our lives. When I first entered the hallowed hallways of Amsterdam Avenue, the Rav was already ill and was no longer giving shir. Our Rebbeim are his Talmidim, and we are considered keli sheni, kli sheni, secondary vessels in terms of his Mesirat HaTorah, his Mesirat HaTorah, his transmission of Torah. We hear the stories of the Yurtzeit Shiurim he gave. We hear the stories of the Tshuva Drashos he delivered, where thousands of scholars and laymen alike would sit riveted to their seats for hours on end, absorbing the Rav's creative genius in transmitting the secrets of a given sugya. We are told of the awe, the trepidation, palpably felt in the hearts of all those who were privileged to sit in the Rav's classroom in the early years. We try to vicariously experience the emotional highs which were felt by those who merited being close to him. And yet, we recognize that we are a distant second generation. That Eino Doma Shmira Le'iria, Le'iria, hearing does not compare to seeing. Given this disconnect, asks Rav Rosner, I ask, what is it about the Rav's Torah that is so powerful, so compelling, that even as klisheni, secondary vessels, we feel so influenced, so shaped, so molded by his thinking and his teaching? What is it about the Rav's Torah that moves us so much, those of us who were not zocha to learn under him, those who learn from those who learned under him? Why, when preparing Shabbat HaGadol and Shabbat Shuvah Drashot, says Rav Rosner, do I always look into the first, what the Rav has to say on this topic? How is it that when we read his writings, we each feel as if he was talking to us personally, spanning the generations and capturing the most modern issue with perspective and timeless thoughts? Maybe, says Rav Rosner, by reviewing his own thoughts, will we be able to better appreciate how his Torah continues to impact and what his Torah symbolizes for all of us. I could think of no better introduction. That's from the book Blessings and Thanksgiving, an introduction by Rav Shalom Rosner to this series, which is entitled Insights and Lessons from Torah's Harav. So here we go. The Mishnah tells us this week, of course, Thursday, Yom Chamishi, is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the infamous day when the Luchos were first broken, the fateful day that begins our mourning for Churban Beis HaMikdash, and this will be the topic of today's shiur. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Tainis, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav, Chamisha Dvarim Eru Asavoseinu B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. So, just like we tend to think that Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, one thing happened, the walls were breached, and we tend to think on Tisha B'Av, one thing happened, the Batei Mikdash were destroyed. Actually, the Mishnah tells us that five things happened to our forefathers, five tragedies or calamities befell us in history on these days. B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, which is the focus of today's year, and the mourning period associated with these Bein HaMitzarim, these weeks, these 3 weeks of mourning, which is the most calamitous, pain-filled, heavy, mournful time on the Jewish calendar year. B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, what happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? Nishtabru HaLuchos. The first thing that happened is that the Luchos were broken. Moshe came down from Har Sinai. He saw the Jews worshipping the Egel HaZahav, the Rayakuma Amatzachek. The people were doing Avodah Zarah and Arayos and Shvichus Damim. They Nishtabru HaLuchos. He comes down. He says, what happened to Anochi Hashem Elkecha? What happened to Lo Yalecha Elohim Echeirim Alpanai? What happened to Lo Tin Af? And he broke the Luchos. So that was the first tragedy, a calamity that happened to our forefathers. A few months after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Moshe comes down, he sees them worshipping the golden calf, and he breaks the Luchos. What else happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz? Batal HaTamid, the Karban Tamid that was offered every single day in the Mishkan slash Beit HaMikdash. Batal HaTamid, it ceased to be. Huvka Ha'ir, which is perhaps the most famous calamity, the city walls were breached by the enemy, the city walls of Jerusalem. Saraf Apostamus Esataras, a man named Apostamus, and historically, the scholars are not sure exactly when this happened, but the Sefer Torah was publicly burned. Vamid Salam Behechal, and an idol was put in the Heichal. Five other things happened to our forefathers on Tisha B'Av. It was decreed that they should not enter the Holy Land, Chet HaMeraglim. The first temple was destroyed. The second temple was destroyed. Beitar was finally captured. The city was plowed over. Concludes the Mishnah, Mishanichnas Av Mima'atin B'Simcha. When Av enters, we diminish in happiness. We should not have a feeling of joy, of gaiety, of celebration at this time. We should feel the mournful period of this time, and we should understand that these are the worst days on the calendar year. So five things happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. We already listed them. After the people worshipped the Egel HaZahav, we, in a sense, committed a trespass against the Ribono Shel Olam. Lo Tin Af, you shall not be unfaithful. You shall not do Avodah Zarah. You shall not get into bed with anybody else because Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Mitzrayim, Beis Avadim. Where was our loyalty to the Ribono Shel Olam? And Moshe came down and he broke the Luchos. And with the breaking of the Luchos, gone was Kol Asher Dibur Hashem Nasa V'Nishma, Shemos 24/7. Everything that God says, we will do and we will listen. God was V'Hiyisam Li Segula Mikol Ha'amim. You will be to me more treasure. The beginning of Perek Etes of Shemos from all the nations. V'atem Tiyuli Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh Ki Li Kol Ha'aretz. The psukim of love, the prelude to Matan Torah, the beginning of Perek Yates and Shemos, that describes how God brought us to him on eagle's wings, how he takes care of us like an eagle takes care of our youngs and carries them above the arrows, how we will be to him a holy nation and a kingdom of priests, how we are misugal, we are more treasured than any other nation. It was all gone, and God wanted to destroy Knesset Yisrael. And this calamity of the breaking of the Luchos was the first tragedy that befell our forefathers, subsequently leading to much churban throughout the ages. I was just speaking to someone last night. She, Be'ezras Hashem, is sponsoring an upcoming shir on Shivas Arba Tammuz. I'll be presenting. And she mentioned to me that Shivas Arba Tammuz is very meaningful in her family because her mother's parents and siblings and a few other 100 Jews were on the train to Auschwitz. They arrived in Auschwitz from Hungary on Shivas Arba Tammuz 1944, and they were murdered upon arrival. So with the first Shivas Arba Tammuz in our history, with our trespass against Ribbono Shel Olam, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, mourning was decreed for generations, and it is a calamitous day. And we should not be looking for excuses to get out of this time period of mourning. Can I do this? Can I look for a Teirim to be happy? Can I go do this? Of course, ask your Rav. But we should feel the pain of the day, Rav Soloveitchik says. And Shivas Arba Tammuz begins these calamitous 3 weeks with the climax being Tisha B'Av. Rav Soloveitchik says Tisha B'Av is a time, it is a day of mourning. It is a day on which we should tell the story that begins with Esav. Halacha b'yadua she'Esav son of Yaakov. The story that describes the main experience of our Jewish lives, says the Rav, in the last 2,000 years. It is not even a question of a destruction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies in the temple on Har Habayis. The question is of the Beis HaMikdash that was destroyed, that is every Jewish home. A Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is replaceable. But this Beis HaMikdash, says the Rav, is irreplaceable. If we want, says the Rav, we can now build a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. I assure you, if we want, we can build a Mizbeach, we can build an altar, you can bring the Karban Tamid again. Whether we should do it or we should not do it politically, that's a different story. But theoretically, replacing the altar is possible. That says the Rav, can you replace the home of each individual that was murdered in Churban? You cannot replace him. You cannot replace his home. Can you replace the hundreds of Hungarian Jews who arrived in Auschwitz on Shivas Arba Tammuz, 1944? Can you replace them and the generations that would have come from them? Millions of homes, says the Rav, they were Batei Mikdash, were destroyed. With each Jew, the enemy destroyed a Beis HaMikdash. Each Jew had his own Beis HaMikdash, says the Rav, and that cannot be replaced. If it was only the Beis HaMikdash that was burned, says the Rav, I would not care so much. The stones, the bricks, the building. But they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash that was responsible for the survival of Knesset Yisrael. The enemy destroyed the home, the homes throughout history of millions and millions of Jews. And here he speaks reminiscently of a memory from when he grew up. I am beginning to see images, says the Rav. And one image I see is of a carpenter. He calls him Elia de Stolier. I believe it's Russian, D-E. This is how it's written down in the book, S-T-O-L-I-E-R. Elia was his name, de Stolier. He was called. He was a short fellow. And he rented out a large room to my Cheder Malamed. The Rav speaks so fondly of his Cheder Malamed, of his teacher. His Malamed, when he was a young boy, and he learned on this teacher till he was about 8 or 9 years old. He was a short fellow, and he rented out a room to my Cheder Malamed in order to make a living. So we had to go through his workshop in order to get to the back room, to get to Cheder, says the Rav. This Elia was a plain Jew, a simple carpenter, not much of a scholar. He was a Jew. He used to stand the whole day as a carpenter, working and saying Tehillim. He knew Tehillim by heart. He somehow found a system for reciting Tehillim. He used to say certain verses at certain times. When he completed the work on the table, he would say, Kol ha'neshama tahalal kahaluluka, let all souls praise God. And he would say a different verse when he started to do his daily work. On the high holidays, on the Yamim Noraim, this Reb Elia de Stolier was the Baal Tefillah and the big shul in Kaslovich. 1 second, someone's saying they're having trouble with what? Is anyone else having trouble with the sound someone is saying? I hope not. I hope people can hear me. People are saying there's no trouble with the sand. No, the sand's good, Baruch Hashem. So maybe it's from the person who's having issues from your end. Maybe exhale, don't come back. I'm not sure. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So people seem to be able to hear. Thank you very much for your responses. I want to make sure people could hear this year. So Rav Soloveitchik says, continuing, on the high holidays, on the Yamim Noraim, this Elia, this Reb Elia D'Stalia, was the Baal Tefillah in the Big Shul in Kaslovich. Most probably he deserved it. He hardly knew how to translate or understand the Mishnah. What comes to us so easy? We can quote the Mishnah in Tainis and say the five things that happen on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and the five things that happen on Tisha B'Av. Rav Soloveitchik says this, Rav Elia D'Stalia, the carpenter, who rented out a room to my Cheder Malamed, he hardly knew how to translate or understand the Mishnah. But I am convinced, says the Rav, and I heard this from my father, his father Rav Moshe Zatzal, that if there was ever a Jew who was counted among the Lamed Vav Nistarim, one of the 36 hidden righteous Jews of the generation, it was Rav Elia D'Stalia. I still have an image of him, says the Rav. An image of a simple Jew banging nails into a table to make a table into wood, reciting Tehillim, davening for the Amud. A simple Jew who maybe did not understand Mishnah, but who understood what it meant to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. A simple Jew who, says the Rav, he heard from his father, was one of the Lamed Vavniks of our generation. This, says the Rav, is not a Beis HaMikdash. His home was a Beis HaMikdash. There were thousands and thousands, I will amend that slightly to say millions and millions of Jews like him. This is what we mourn. I mean, these 3 weeks come. Atem Bechisim Bechia Shachinam. We rejected Eretz Yisrael. Atisa kol ha'eda v'yidnu es kolam v'yivku am b'laylahu v'midbar 14:1. The spies come back. You know that land where God's taking us? It's not so good after all. Maybe we don't want to go there. We can't do it. Lo na'ala. Lo nuchal la'alos. Ki chazaku mimenu. We cannot possibly go up. The people are stronger than God, they said, according to Rashi. And when we rejected the land, Ribbono Shel Olam said, you don't want my land? You don't have my land? Almost 2,000 years later, we are preparing to fast on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and usher in Bein HaMitzarim, his time period of mourning once again. What is the greatest tragedy of this time period? Is it that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Is that today you could walk in Yerushalayim? Unbelievable. And you could see in the Kotel Tana Torah, some of the floor has, like, I don't know if it's glass or very strong plastic. I don't know what the material is. But you can look down below where you're standing. And you look down below and you see the stones as they fell from the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. Is that the greatest tragedy? That the stones from the destruction of Yerushalayim at the hands of the Romans lay in ruin? Is that the biggest tragedy? That's not the biggest tragedy, says the Rav. If it was only the Beis HaMikdash, I wouldn't care, says the Rav. Because a Beis HaMikdash could be replaced. Technically, it could be replaced. Vatel HaTamid, you could bring a Korban Tamid. Whether we should or should not, politically, that's a different story. But we could. Can you replace the train for Miriam Goodman's mother's family? And millions of others. My four grandparents. Can you replace those homes that were destroyed? Can you bring back Elia D'Stalia, who was murdered by the Nazis? Can you bring those Jews who arrived in Auschwitz on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and were murdered al Kiddush Hashem? Can you bring them back? They destroyed millions of homes, says the Rav. That's why we're mourning. Because every home represents Jews, families of Jews, a Mesorah, grandparents, parents. How many times does Rav Soloveitchik refer to a teaching from his father, from his grandfather? The Mesorah, the Shalshalas HaMesorah, that they attempted to destroy with each Jewish life, men, women, seniors, children, babies, suckling babies. And this is what Michaelis Eicha describes. Babies swooning in the streets, mothers eating the flesh of their young, perhaps a metaphor for being unable to save their children, because we cannot fathom that Jewish mothers would eat their young. It's also mentioned in the Klalos of the Torah. Why do we cry? Sure, we miss the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, we've missed the temple and the Big Day Kohuna and the sacrifices. But what about the Jews who are the Batei Mikdash that cannot be replaced? What is the greatest consequence of sin? Is the greatest consequence, I'm sorry. Is the greatest consequence of sin a fear of Gehenna? Going to hell? Is the greatest consequence of sin punishment? Is the greatest consequence of speaking Lashon Hara that I might ruin my job if someone finds out what I said about somebody else? No. Those things might happen, but that's not the greatest consequence of sin. You know what the greatest consequence of sin is? The distance it puts between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I believe this is a teaching that I also learned somewhere in the Rav a few years ago, but I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure it is. The greatest consequence of sin, and if you look through Torah, you see it time and again. Adam and Isha ate from the fruit that they should not have eaten from. I mean, it ate. Asher sivisicha levilti acham imena chalta. Perchance by the eat from the fruit of the tree that I told you not to eat from, and they were kicked out of Gan Eden. The greatest consequence of sin is the distance it puts between us and God. Chayit ha-meraglim, they rejected the land, said, God said, no problem, you won't come into my land. We won't be close, we won't be neighbors, we won't be shachain, shechinah, mishkan, I won't dwell amongst you. Atitz chaksar bekir ba'vatomer, chorei velosi haisali edna v'adoni zakin. Sarah laughs. Seriously, I'm going to have a child when I'm 90? After all these years of waiting? I'm withered, I'm dried up. Why did Sarah laugh? God could do anything. And she denies laughing. She says, I didn't laugh. That's the very next pasuk. Go look it up. You know what happens after Sarah laughs, which is in a sense the dying in some way, the Ribbono Shel Olam? The angels get up and leave because the angels of God cannot be in the presence of doubt. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam cannot be in the presence of sin. The greatest consequence of sin is the division it causes between us and God. Chayit ha-meraglim, we won't go into the land. Yosef's lashon hara about his brothers, Perek Lab Zion, Bereishis, led to Galus Mitzrayim, out of Eretz Yisrael. Adam and Isha ate from the forbidden fruit, out of the Garden of Eden. Sarah laughed, the angels laughed. Time and again, the greatest consequence of sin is the division between us and God. Rav Soloveitchik says, what is the main motif of this time period of mourning? For what are we mourning? Why are we weeping? Why are we wailing? Asks the Rav. What do we want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is our main request the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? This is a different piece than Rav Elia de Stolia. Both these pieces today are from the book, The Lord is Righteous in All His Ways. Is our main request the building of the Beis HaMikdash? No. True. It was once endowed with great sanctity. But God poured out his wrath over wooden stones, the sages tell us in Medrash Eicha Rabbah. It is already over 1900 years, and we are still mourning, crying, weeping and wailing for the destruction of Tzion and Yerushalayim. But what does this mean? What are we mourning and weeping and wailing for? The building, the structure? Yes, it was important, says the Rav. Vasuli miktosh v'shachanti besocham, Shemos 25:8, made for me a sanctuary, so I shall dwell amongst you. But this is not everything. There are more important matters in Yahadus than the woods and the stone, the wood and the stones of the Beis HaMikdash, says the Rav. There is one thing that ultimately we want. The separation of the Mechitzas HaBarzal, the iron curtain that separates us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to be united, like a father wants to be united with his son. What does a father want when the son leaves him? One thing, to be united with his son, to be reconciled, to be on intimate terms with his son. When there is no love between them, the intimacy disappears. The son stops confiding in the father. The father stops confiding in the son, confiding in the son. Chabad HaLatzel, we should never know. Sometimes families have such tragedies. And then there develops a relationship of tension, a relationship that is very bad for both parties, the father and the son. Woe to the sons who have been exiled from their father's table, says the Gemara Maseches Brachos. And what do we say? Hashem says, I don't want anything. All I want is my son back. But your son is right here in this room. Yes, sometimes the son can be in the room and very far away from his father. What do we want of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We want unity between him and Knesset Yisrael. That will symbolize the end of Galus. That is our cry to heaven. We are on one side of the clouds. The Galus Eicha speaks about the dark clouds that stops our prayers from going through. We are on one side of the clouds and the Ribbono Shel Olam is on the other. Let the cloud disappear, we pray. Let the sun shine. Let there be a bright day. Let us see the beauty of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to unite Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Karban, Lahakriv, Makriv, Karov, to be close to God. That was the whole purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need our sacrifices, says the Rav, but he wants one thing very much, and that's the union between him and Knesset Yisrael. And because of Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Ribbono Shel Olam is very far from us. Sometimes you may experience this in your life. Sometimes you feel very close to Hashem. Sometimes you feel so estranged from God. What do you want from me? Why am I in this situation? What's the right thing to do? Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't feel direction. I need hadracha. I'm so confused. There's such a void. The world is so crazy. Olam hafuch ra'isi. Where are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? What's the proper approach? Yes, we follow Das Torah. Yes, we do mitzvos. Yes, we do ma'isim tovim. Yes, we daven, but we feel so distant from God. Look at this godless we're in. The greatest consequence of sin is the distance it puts between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's what came with Churban. We want to experience Hashem. We want to do so as if He were present right here with us. We want to experience closeness and intimacy once again. How does the Megillah end, Eicha? What are the last two psukim? Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. If you return to us, Hashem, we will return to you. Human beings are fallible. We're weak. You created us with a Yetzer Hara. Chadesh yameinu kekadem. Restore our days as of old. Ki ima os me'astanu. Katsafta aleinu ad ma'od. It's true we have sinned. It's true, Rav Salvechik says, chet doesn't mean sin, it means failure. Okay, we failed, but we're human beings, and we're trying our best. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva. Come back to us, Hashem. Avelus, says the Rav, which is the whole motif of this time, it's a time of Avelus. Avelus means alienation from God. Separation, isolation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is very painful, says the Rav, when a person feels lonely. Completely lonely. That pain of Avelus is the pain of being removed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al eila ani bochia, eini, eini yarda mayim. Ki rechok mimeni meshiv nafshi, ki gavar oyev. There is no one to restore my soul when the enemy has prevailed. When Reb Elia de Stolier's home, and the Jews from Hungary arrived and were gassed in Auschwitz on Shivas Arba Tammuz. When millions of Batei Mikdash of every individual Jew have been destroyed. That means there's a separation, there's a mechitzas harbarzel, there's a cloud between us and God. Avelus means separation, loneliness, distance. And even if we have sinned, ki ima os ma'astanu, ata takum terachim tzien, ki es techanina, it's time to have mercy, ki va moed. Isn't it enough, Ribbono Shel Olam? I'm going to end with my 1 minute that I have left. Rav Aaron Lopiansky teaches, he once heard the following point from Rav Asher Ber Salvechik, the Rav. One Tisha B'Av, Rav Salvechik, said as follows, I'm quoting from Rav Aaron Lopiansky. People say to me, says the Rav, we have Eretz Yisrael, we have Yerushalayim, we have the Kosel. Why are we still mourning? Rav Salvechik says, I reply to them and say, have you ever seen an estranged son sitting at his father's table? There is only 1 foot of distance between their bodies, but there are 1,000 miles between their hearts. This creates an unbearable tension, intensified by their physical presence. So too our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are so close that because of Galus and Churban, we are so far, and for this we mourn. This is the pain of Avelus. This is the motif of these times. And what we daven for is the second to last pasuk in Eicha. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. If you come back to us, God, v'nashuva, we will come back to you. Chadesh yameinu kekadem. I thank you so much for joining our shiur today.